Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
Today we're in the nation's capital with a university that's named after the same individual, George Washington, George Washington University. And I'm always interested to look at some of the history. We've pointed out on our program many times the rich Christian heritage of many of our universities and how they've by and large turned away from that heritage in the modern times. But even here at George Washington University, there was an individual who started the university using funds after George Washington died that he had set aside to start a school. And the individual was Reverend Luther Rice, who had been a missionary to India. But his heritage was quite interesting. We've mentioned the Haystack Monument that's at Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts, and how that was the place where under a haystack a small number of college students were gathered together and huddled there in a thunderstorm and were burdened with the need for evangelizing the world. And we look at that as the starting point of modern missions from America. And a number of people have come out of there that have impacted different areas of the world. But one of those was impacted and was in the group, not at the haystack itself, but in that same group and burdened for missions, was Luther Rice. And he went to India with another individual, Adoniram Judson, and they both found not a good reception in India, for some reason a number of missionaries were expelled from India. Adoniram Judson went and started the work in Burma, and Luther Rice came back to the United States and was burdened, and for the rest of his career raised money for overseas missions, was credited with the start of the Southern Baptist Convention as a result of that, and also he started a number of universities as well, and the George Washington University was one of them. Well, we're here today in Washington, D.C., and my guest is Lenore Webb. She's a career coach and associate director of career learning and experience here at the university. And Lenore, welcome to our broadcast today.
Thank you, Glenn.
We are here in a very busy building. We're on the fifth floor here in Washington, D.C. You wouldn't think that there would be so many acres dedicated to a university. I think it's maybe 35 acres or so.
I think George Washington probably is one of the biggest owners of real estate in this city, probably behind the federal government.
Right, okay. Yeah. And even with all that property, you still have to build five and larger story buildings to do all the business here. Well, we're excited to be here with you, and we made connection through the internet and some other people involved with ministry here. You are involved in counseling students about their careers. Is that your primary activity?
Yeah, that's my primary activity. I also supervise and coordinate some programming, but my heart is with the students, and I wanted to make sure I had a role that allowed me to see students as well as doing the planning and supervising of staff.
Right, okay. And you're a follower of Jesus Christ. How do you see his involvement in your career direction as you've, had a few different careers over the years and now serving here to guide people into their careers?
You know, it's interesting. I am a big believer in career assessment, and I think career assessment is basically what God allows us to use to find out how he's made us. And having looked back at the particular gifts and talents that he's given me, even spiritual gifts. I mean, Pastor Shepherd is really my spiritual gift. And so that has really helped me to shepherd students, and I really enjoy that. And I wanted to get out of some of my previous work, which was more research. I have a skill to do it. I know that God used me, but I feel that career counseling, career coaching is something that I can do every day to impact people's lives. But it doesn't matter if you're counseling or even if you're doing research, you can still reach people. In one of the places where I used to work doing policy research, I felt burdened with another Christian staff member to set up a Bible study group.
Right.
And that was an interesting combination of folks. I haven't felt that burden here, but I think for that time, that was the right thing to do. I've joined another Christian group here on campus to get connected and and feel, you know, where's the rest of the light on campus, and know that there are professors who are believers. But I'm continuing to pray for other opportunities to connect with students. I actually met a missionary on campus and was impressed to sponsor her, because I thought, yes, I can sponsor, I do sponsor missionaries overseas, but why not sponsor someone who's working here right on campus with students?
Right.
Okay. That way I get to see more of the fruit through her, so it doesn't have to be directly that way.
Great. And you said your opportunities, even as you meet with students regularly, that you find less openness to bring up the spiritual issues here than you did previously. Was it at North Carolina?
Yeah, University of North Carolina at Charlotte. I think there were a lot more people who were churched in the South.
Mm-hmm.
It made it easier to talk about it, I think. But no matter what the person's background is, often I will say to folks that the most important aspect to their career development is spiritual, whether they want to go there or not. It's
right.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who are open to that and some people who aren't, and certainly I have to be ethically on target with what I have learned on campus and as a career counselor. But if someone opens up and says that they're interested in spiritual things, then, you know, I go where that takes me.
Great, yeah. Great. And you said you meet with a group. How often does that meet, of faculty and staff that are Christians? And
yeah, we meet once a month at lunchtime, and it's a way for people to kind of talk about just generally what's going on, and we pick a book to read, and we're reading Tim Keller's book, Every Good Endeavor, and that's been really helpful. As a career counselor, I'm always speaking from that angle. They're speaking, many of them are professors, and they're coming at it from a different angle, but it's been helpful for me to kind of reconnect with what's the value of work, that all work is valuable, whether it's secular or specific Christian ministry. In essence, all work is ministry if the attitude is in that direction.
Right. Great.
Right.
And you shared with me earlier, too, that you think that the spiritual aspect is the most important aspect in determining your career.
Oh, absolutely.
And yet you can't share that too much with the students here. But why do you think it's the most important aspect in that decision-making process?
Well, I mean, I think because if you come from the perspective that God created you and God knows everything about you and He created you for a purpose, if you're ignoring that piece, you're sort of missing the whole reason for work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. One of the books that I love the best to give to students is actually written by a retired pastor. The book, What Color Is Your Parachute? By Richard Bowles. He's a retired pastor.
Okay.
Often when a student comes in and wants to know about career direction, I tell them, please go look at the chapter on your what's your mission in life, because that chapter is very openly clear that in order to have a career direction, you have to have an object. And he uses the object as God. Whatever you think about God, how you think about God really reflects how you look at your career.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, it's true. And he can continue to write that year after year, and it's still true. So
right.
I really think that's another way that I can connect with people, is by referring them to well-respected career experts in the field.
Sure. Okay. And of course, the Bible says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord rather
right.
than men, and
right.
Colossians, and also that we all honor the Lord Jesus Christ in all we do as Christians. That's our highest objective. And like you say, that doesn't necessarily mean being a pastor or a missionary or a career counselor,
right.
but any position that we have,
right.
the way we do it and how we treat people expresses that love for Christ, and then we have opportunities to verbalize our faith as well.
Yeah, I think there's also different seasons in your life where you get to do some things. This particular job, I am doing more supervisory work and management than I ever have, and so that shepherding instinct comes about in taking new staff. And so even if I'm not able to be as direct as I'd like to about spiritual things with students, I can be much more direct with my staff. In terms of mentoring them and encouraging them, and even talking a little bit about spiritual things when that moment arises. So I know that God is using that to help me shape them and encourage them.
Great, great. And I also understand that you're involved in your local church in an outreach type of ministry What are you involved with there, and how is that an outreach?
Well, I decided last fall to become an ESL teacher. It's a, you know, it's a volunteer capacity. You don't have to be an expert in it. And I really love working with international students.
Right, and ESL, English as a second language. So for foreigners to learn how to speak English.
Absolutely. And, I mean, ultimately, it is seen as an outreach so that people can know about Christ through your actions or even through some of the vocabulary or even some of the text that we use and the illustrations. I pray for my class at the end of every class. I don't get to do that here in my office, so I'm glad I get to do that.
Right.
But I decided to do ESL. Again, I'm a career counselor. All of my strong interest inventory said I should be an ESL instructor, so I thought, well, I better go try that out. And I knew that God, if God's prompting you to do something, there's a reason for it.
Right.
It's not just something that pops out of nowhere. It's not just because of an assessment either, but it was a nice confirmation that that's what I should be doing. Also, I was in lay counseling previously and really enjoyed that. There's a part of that that I miss, but I feel that right now ESL is a good calling for me because it helps me reach people from different cultures.
Right.
You know, and honestly, I feel like some of the folks in the U.S., from the U.S., have gotten really jaded about spiritual things, and people from other cultures seem to show a lot more interest and are not as turned off and don't have walls that are as high. And so I think that is a mission field to reach internationals who come to the U.S.
Sure.
So that's something that has been helpful.
Great.
Also.
You know, what different countries have you had represented in the ESL program there at your church?
Oh, my goodness. I've had people from Macedonia, Vietnam, Bolivia, Colombia, Honduras, all over the world.
Great, great. I know we had previously a guest who heads up an international English language program at the University of Delaware, and he said the two largest groups, you know, were from pretty closed countries, the mainland China, a communist country, and then the other one was Saudi Arabia, of all places, which is totally closed to the gospel, and yet they were seeing many inroads to for Christians to kind of adopt some of these international students and offer ministry, and through the English language study to share.
That would be something that I would certainly say to local churches. When I was in Charlotte, we had a very large Chinese population. And my local church really adopted that group, and they took them to the church for, picnics, movies, talking about spiritual things, and just really adopted them on breaks. You know, a lot of these folks can't go home on breaks.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And they were just a few miles away, but people were really committed to coming once a week to minister to them or to bring them to the church. I don't really see that here at GW, and that would be my prayer is that some local church would say, hey, there's just a ton of folks from China, that's the largest group here, and other countries that don't really have a spiritual influence, and how can we connect by offering dinners or taking them to our homes?
Right.
So they have some things like that, but I just don't think it's quite as far developed as it could be, and I really think if local churches got together, that would be a great way to do that.
Great. Well, I've been speaking with Lenore Webb. She's a career coach here at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Lenore, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Glenn.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Report. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844. Or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.